Father, again, we just take a moment as we go to your word that you would allow our hearts to be open, allow our hearts to receive what you have for us. Lord God, if there's anything that is within us that keeps us from hearing your word today and applying it to our lives, would you break down that barrier so that we might accomplish all that you want in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You would turn with me to Colossians 2, verses 7 to 16 is where we're going to be. And this morning I sit there and I think that there's a lot of people hoping that their team wins today. You know, either fly, Eagles fly, or Patriot Nation, wherever you're at, there is a whole lot of people today thinking and hoping and trying to just be on the positive side that their team would win today. And I want to tell you that one team is going to be excited and one team is going to be disappointed. A group of people this morning or this afternoon or tonight, 6:30 I think it starts. So tonight, some people will be excited and some people will be disappointed. I want you to know the Bible talks a lot about being hopeful, having hope. So I want you to know this morning that you need to understand the proper definition of hope, God's hope and the worldly hope, and that wishing your team well today is not the only hope that you need in life today. So if you would, turn with me. Should already be there. It's right after Philippians, looking at chapter 2, starting at verse 6, reading to verse 15. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also crucified with a circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith and the working of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Man's hope this morning is based upon wishful thinking, based upon events coming true. Man's hope has a lot of particulars that are out of our control. We wish our team would win today, but really, we have nothing to do with that outcome, do we? We're sitting in front of a TV. We have nothing to do except cheer that team on. We want our team to win, but we have nothing to do with the outcome of the game because we're not in that game. We have nothing to benefit from it either. I don't believe anyone here is going to be getting a check from them because they won the Super Bowl. Now, if you're a gambling person, maybe you have something to win or lose, but other than that, nobody is going to send you a check saying that, congratulations, you just won the Super Bowl. So we really need to treat God's hope and worldly hope in the right perspective, because if we put God's hope in our hope that's on the worldly things, we're going to be disappointed. When we base our hopes on God, we're not going to be disappointed. When I looked at the definition of Webster for hope, it says this: a feeling. Did you get that? A feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. A person or a thing that may help or save someone. Grounds for believing that something good may happen. Now, let me give you one definition, one part of God's definition of hope from Scripture. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we do not see. Another Bible says it this way. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of things that we don't see. God's faith and our faith has to be wrapped together. You say amen to that? It's intertwined. When you're talking about your faith and you're talking about hopes, and it's not wishful thinking, it's basing our hopes on God's promises, the things that He desires to do. It's putting our trust in Him. It's making sure that we stay focused on Him in the times that we can't see what's going on, knowing that in God we're holding on to the promises. Man's hopes are feelings, and God's hopes are promises. Say amen to that. If you get nothing else out of that this morning, that just remember, God's hopes are standing on His promises. Man's hopes goes on how we're feeling. And that's why when things aren't going well, if your eyes aren't on the Lord, if your eyes aren't on God's hope, that's why when things aren't going well, you can get discouraged. But if your hopes is and faith is on God, those times that the things aren't going well is the times that you just dig in. Those times that you just stand and know that God has something that He's doing, even though you don't see it. God has not forsaken you. Your faith is not shattered by something that you're going through. And no matter what it looks like, or no matter what it feels like at that moment, your trust is in Him. Your hope is in Him. You're not going to get knocked off your pedestal because of a circumstance. I saw a fun fact this week, and I'm looking through it, and if you go through several different dictionaries, it may change a little bit, but you'll get the point here. One fact said there's 147,000 words in the Oxford English Dictionary, and that the average person speaks between 20 and 35,000 words. And the average person uses 5,000 to 20,000 words on a regular basis. Now, if you Google that, which you're not because you're listening to your preacher right now, but if you would Google that, some counts say that there's 1.2 million words. And you're thinking, well, what is the difference between that? And here's what I thought was really exciting. Because they couldn't come to an agreement, because is hot dog one word or two words? You know, do you count all the different various ways of one word, because they have different meanings? Do you count it each time a different way? Do you count slang? And then I got crazy. I'm thinking, do you count Zabolskiisms? Just because I think it's a word, is it a word? So when you're looking at that, I'm thinking the point is this. There's a lot of words out there. And a lot of people have an opinion. And then there's all kinds of things being shoved down our throat. But I want to tell you this morning, not all words are worth anything. Not all people's opinions should change the way that you think and the way that you act. The Apostle Paul, if you really did a study on where he's at and what he's doing, he's writing to the church because they were facing and being deceived into believing false teachings, and he's coming back to them to make sure they're okay. He comes back to a bunch of believers that he doesn't know real well, but he considered them family because he's coming back, and he wanted the true church to know the true word of God and not be deceived, not be, taking things out of context. He wanted to come and make sure they weren't perishing, make sure they were not going on a bad track. And the Apostle Paul, which, again, God has a sense of humor. I think when you look at Scripture, the Apostle Paul, who hated Christians, not just disliked, the Bible says that he hated them. And when you looked at them, he had this thought that they were polluting the Word of God. He thought that they were doing things contrary to the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul, one day, walking down the Damascus Road, had an encounter with God. And it changed his thinking. It changed how he was. It changed this guy from not wanting to cry to not caring if God broke me. The Apostle Paul having an encounter with God that changed the way that he was thinking. And it makes me just realize, as long as you have breath, it's not too late for God to get a hold of you. God to be able to change your thinking. Because the Bible even tells you, if you think different, it says that's okay. God can change that. You know, and when I look at that verse, if you want to look at it, it's saying, if you don't agree with me, that's okay. I can change that. Because you're still wrong. And you still need to change that thinking. You know, this Paul had new hope. This Paul didn't base it upon feelings. He was an educated man. He wasn't basing it upon feelings. It wasn't based upon what others had told him. Because once he encountered Jesus, the rest fell into place. He didn't have to think about other people's words or other people's feelings. He encountered Jesus. Every one of us needs hope. Say amen to that. It's why my push lately has been about connecting, about being a part of something bigger than we are, because every one of us needs hope. Every one of us needs to be encouraged. Every one of us needs to have someone alongside of them cheering us on, because if you didn't, it's easy to go to hopelessness. It's easy to get on the wrong side of that, and without godly hope, we are putting our trust in something that won't last. See, biblical change cannot happen without hope. Say amen to that. Biblical change cannot happen without hope. Biblical hope cannot happen without an encounter with God. See, people who face divorce and troubles in their families and deaths and all these life-shattering things need hope. People who face problems for a long time and don't see anywhere else need hope. People that have been burned by the church people need hope. Need God to step in. People who have been wrongly accused need hope. See, biblical hope produces something. If you look at God's word, biblical hope produces something. It works inside out. Don't believe me, Proverbs 10:28 says, the prospect of a righteousness is joy. See, biblical hope will produce joy. Joy will spring up out of someone that is hopeless when God intervenes and steps in and does something amazing. Romans 28 says that biblical hope produces perseverance. It says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. Biblical hope tells us that, hey, it's not happening right now, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. It just means that we need to patiently be waiting. Philippians 1:20 says that biblical hope produces confidence. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have significant courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We have to understand the difference between godly hope and false hope. Let me give you some false hope. False hope are human ideas, pleasurable and desire, and the key word here is human ideas. See, many people will believe that problems will disappear if they get what they want. If they get what they want, their problem will disappear. Don't believe me? If I just get married, it will be all right. If I just get a spouse, it'll be all right. If I have a better job, it will be all right. If I get a bigger house, it will be all right. If I have a better job and get more money, it's going to be better. Without even thinking about it, sometimes we approach God with the name it and claim it. I name that I'm going to have this and that and this, or this person or that person or this job or this house. God never says name it and claim it. God never says that we would just be able to just name it and go get it, and it'll be okay. He just tells us he's going to intervene. He just tells us that he's going to be there. False hope is a denial of reality. I'll give you an example. A person that just wants to be a singer, a professional singer, or play an instrument at Carnegie Hall. The only problem is they're no good. So if you had a hope that you're going to be this singer, but you're not that singer, or if you hope to play this instrument, but you can't play a lick, all the poking and hoping is not going to do you any good. And for somebody to say, oh, you just sing beautifully, when in reality your ears are bleeding, is not helping us. It's a denial of reality. False hope is based on magical thinking. It's based upon an unbiblical view of prayer. Some people think prayer is enough. Now hear me. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of God. But sometimes God says, get off your butt. Sometimes God says, you need to do what I've equipped you to do. God sometimes tells us that you need to use your talents. Use what I've given you to go ahead. You need to step out in faith. And as you step out in faith, I'm going to do something else. Because some people just say, oh God, if you really want me to have this, I'll get off this couch. And God's saying, get off the couch and I may give it to you. False hope is based upon improper interpretation of Scripture. We can't make God's Word say what we want it to say. Do you hear me this morning? We can't make God's Word say what we want it to say. We can't force something to be the way we want it. We have to take it in context. When I look at Scripture, I see some things that were written for the nation of Israel. Don't try to apply it to the United States. Don't try to apply it to your own life. Some of that is just for Israel. Don't make it say what it's not saying this morning. And the characteristics of hope are this: realistic. True hope is realistic. And here's the verse I tell you. Romans 8:28 tells us, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say that all things are good. Do you understand me this morning? It says all things work together for the good. But it doesn't mean all things are good, which means bad things can happen to good people. True hope stays focused on God. Joseph, when you read that story, how he remained solid and remained faithful when he was in slavery and bad things happened and he was lied to and everything else. He kept focused because he uses this, as for you, talking about all his brothers and all those that did him wrong. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. Maybe sometimes we got to go through bad things so that others could be helped. It's why when we go through these things that we need to be a blessing to someone else, because we can lighten the load of someone else by some of the things that we've been through. Job lost everything. And unfortunately, he didn't have the Bible to explain it later on. He only knew that God was doing this to him and said that he was willing to let God do this. Though you slay me, I will serve you. He never understood the real purpose that God was doing in that circumstance. We do on the other side of the cross, but he didn't. Godly hope is never shaken by unpleasant circumstances, because we're just going to stay focused. True hope is renewed daily. It'd be great. I wish it was this case, but God doesn't just all of a sudden give you all the hope you need for your whole life. Boom, there it is. Every time somebody takes a little bit up, it's all right there. It's got to be renewed daily. You've got to come back to the Lord. You have to allow God to fill you. You have to allow God to work in your life. You have to allow God to do things amazing in your life. It's not like you have this pool of hope that never runs dry. And I guarantee if you're not spending time with the Lord, that hope is getting dwindled. True hope is a matter of the will. Say amen to that. Hope is a choice. Just like hopelessness is a choice, you got there, you go, it things happen and happen and happen, and you're off track, away from God. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible. Don't get around people of like-minded faith, and pretty soon it's a choice you've made because you've walked away from God. You go into the abyss. You walk away from God and you find yourself more alone. Hope is a choice. True hope is based upon knowledge. That kept you awake. True hope is based upon what you know at the times when you're going through hard things. Say amen to that. How do you know what God wants to do unless you're reading God's word? How do you know how you're supposed to be or what the end result is going to be if you don't read God's word? Faith coming by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by experience too. Say amen to that. How many have watched God do something extraordinary at your worst moments and watched God do something amazing? And so the next time you're getting close to that same thing, now you got experience. Sometimes that experience will prevent you from doing something stupid that you did in the past. Sometimes that experience allows you to know, and you're already being prayed up because you're girding up. You know it's coming, so you're preparing yourself and you're getting around the Lord. I want you to know something. It is unbiblical to say, I hope I am a Christian. It's unbiblical. It is unbiblical to say, I hope I am a Christian. Because it amounts to the same thing as saying, I hope I'm an American. We don't know what we have. You is one or you ain't one. See if them words are in that Oxford dictionary. It's unscriptural. By knowing God's word and knowing his promises, you learn to have God's hope. Let's end this on a positive note. Do you know the difference between godly hope and false hope? I hope you do this morning. I hope you got it. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Now let me just read this scripture again, just a couple of the verses. Just as you've received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. Do you see where I'm going with that this morning? Rooted and grounded and built up in Him. Strengthened in your faith in Him. Thankfulness in Him. See to it that no one steals what the Lord has given you. Do not let anyone deceive you into believing other than what the Word of God says. Don't lose focus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and Christ righteousness. That is not in the Bible, but it is definitely a biblical principle. Say amen to that this morning. Christ is our hope. The Word of God in Romans says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Closing thought. Jesus doesn't just give us hope. He is our hope. Jesus doesn't just show us the way. The Bible tells us that He is the way. He doesn't just give us truth. The Bible tells us that He is truth. Circumstances may change, but He doesn't. He is our hope. Amen this morning? Father, we just thank You for that. Father, we struggle in circumstances. We struggle with things going on in our life, Lord God, that just sucks the joy out of us and takes away our hope. But this morning, if we will be determined that we will keep our eyes focused on You, that You are the God of hope, that You are the God that fills us to overflowing when we're empty and there's nothing left. You are the God that gives us strength when we are weak. Father, help us today. Not standing before You saying, I hope I am a Christian. But Lord God, that we stand in Your promises and our hope is in You, that we can say, I am a child of God, ready to receive the benefits of being the child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.